know what you are.
Welcome to Source Not Found, a show about the worst versions of your favorite things. Every other week, we take an IP, franchise, or fandom and examine it solely through its sequels, spinoffs, or side projects. Basically, anything but the source material. My name is Bo Woodall, and you never, ever fuck with an antiques dealer.
And my name? I have many. One of them is Brandon June, but we're all so much more complicated than our names.
Pretty good. Welcome back to November, everybody. Happy November 2024.
Happy November.
November. All them bloodsuckers ready for all them good times. And for our first introduction to this November, we are doing Wes Craven's Dracula 2000 from 2000.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I haven't seen this one. I just, you know, the title, it's a bad title.
It's a bad title, but it's Wes Craven,
Yeah. Well, it's not like, I know he threw his name on it. That was a mistake. And
I will, of course, respectfully disagree for many reasons I will bring up in a second.
Well, just, okay, I have some IMDb reviews, and I read so many reviews of people just like, that saw Wes Craven's Dracula 2000, and like, man, he's really fallen. Like, I remember, you know, back in the day, the movies he directed used to mean something, and like, oh no, like, check the he didn't do as much on this movie as you think he did. Like, he put his name on it, so he did have that shit coming. Like, if people didn't like it, just they're attaching all the blame to Wes.
Oh yeah, of course they were. Yeah, why not?
I don't. Is there anything good that ends in 2000? Like, whatever, 2000. Blues Brothers 2000? That wasn't, no. What else we got? I think there's probably a lot of games in this boat.
Andre? No, that's 3000. Shit.
Heavy Metal, like, I think it's Heavy Metal 2000. Maybe there aren't that many. I was trying to think of, like, sequels that use 2000. Maybe more in the game space. SimCity 2000. Is that the best? Is that the best it can be?
Maybe.
Fantasia 2000? Right.
Okay. We're looking better.
Let us know. Right, yeah. Into the show. What's your favorite 2000?
Hit us up in those comments.
Probably mostly sports games.
So I'm not going to forget, since we're doing a movie this month, to do my normal homework. Like, I fucking did that halfway through. Fuck, what did we 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
So, we've got Dracula 2000, released December 22nd of 2000. So, it's almost Dracula 2001.
Right there at the cusp.
Plus, this is a perfect Christmas movie. So, I looked up, first, the budget. $54
million. Okay.
And I'll give some clarity about budget here in a second. What it earned in the U.S. total was 33. Yikes. Worldwide, 47. Double yikes.
Wow.
Opening weekend, it was number 7. Number 1 was Castaway with a budget of $90 million. I want to give a little more ideas of how budget works for movies. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like you could say a movie was made for $54 million. But, like, you don't really know what that means.
I don't. I just kind of nod most of the time. So, big number.
So, Castaway was made for 90. Number 2 was What Women Want with Mel Gibson. Number 3 was Family Man with Nicolas Cage. Number 4 was Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which was made for $123
million.
Then number 5 was Miss Congeniality, number 6 was Emperor's New Groove, and number 7 was Dracula 2000. So
wait, you tell me this movie was number 7 and number 2? Because Gerard Butler is Dracula. That's what women want.
Not just women, bud. That's what I want.
That's what we all want.
Yeah. So that's basically what we're looking at on the numbers end of things. And just,
I'm on Castaway. I did go to Castaway.
I went to The Grinch, I went to Miss Congeniality, and I went to Emperor's New Groove.
But no Castaway. Wow.
I've seen it, but I didn't see it in theaters. So, before we get into why Brandon probably hates this movie.
Not as much as you would
think. I keep hoping I will find a movie other than Ever After that you genuinely enjoy. I'm going to do a quick plot summary. This is pulled from IMDb.
Yeah.
In the millennium version of this classic gothic horror, we find Abraham Van Helsing, who has tangled with Count Dracula in the past, working as an English antiques dealer. Simon is a vampire hunter in training under his apprenticeship. Not true. Van Helsing and Simon travel from London to New Orleans to rescue Van Helsing's daughter Mary from the family's lifelong nemesis, Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's there. I like the... they missed out on the fact that Dracula is released by some tech thieves, and the fact that Simon has no idea what the fuck he's doing the entire time.
Yeah,
because he's not an apprentice vampire hunter. He's a fucking antiques, like, acquisition agent or whatever.
I guess you could say he has about 3 minutes of apprentice vampire huntering. Like, there's a brief window of time that overlaps with, like, Van Helsing still being alive.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And, like, clear about
what
they're doing. And then him just not being, like, an assistant, but actually, like, oh, okay, then I'll try and learn from you. And then just Van Helsing's dead. So, yeah, he's, like, for a little bit. He's technically an apprentice, but not long. Not long.
So I'm going to be completely upfront and honest, and I'm sure you're not surprised. I had a fucking blast watching this movie, man. I had a really good time.
Yeah?
It was... I don't know if I could have asked for more of an early aughts, late 90s fucking horror movie.
Oh, it's aughts as hell.
Like... being called Dracula 2, this is the only movie I can think of that its title fucking sums up exactly both what it is and when it was made.
I totally agree. But also, as I was watching it, I was thinking, I don't think we needed to call it Dracula 2000. I think you could have just called it Dracula, featuring a soundtrack by Linkin Park, Disturbed, Power Man 5000, Static X, Godhead, Head BE, System of a Down, Saliva, and Taproot. And people would have been like, oh, so Dracula 2000.
Yeah, as soon as the credits started rolling and I heard fucking Linkin Park, I was like, oh baby.
Oh man. Take me back.
Man, I'm in a hot topic right now. Give me my chain wallet. It's getting weird.
No, we're not in Hot Topic. We're in Virgin Records.
Virgin Records.
Did you notice? We're in Virgin Records, but it's Virgin Records. We're there a lot.
Yeah. And Dracula thinks that Virgin Records are brilliant.
It kept when he's walking by and just like witnessing all like the debauchery of like Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and then like he's watching the music video on like the outside
of the
display.
Virgin Records. Yeah
and he's just so into it. Is it Little Nicky? I'm trying to remember, like when one of the brothers, like he takes control of the priest's body.
That is Little Nicky.
Sin is in.
That is, like, Little
I
Nicky.
Just, I kept hearing that in my head. Yeah, this is definitely a world that Dracula can get into. I didn't know what to expect. I expected a much worse movie, to be honest.
Fucking righteous. All right. Hey, you know what, man? I will take it.
It's not really that bad. It's kind of like mediocre in a lot of ways, but a lot better in places than it needs to be or than I expected.
Yeah.
There's some genuinely good stuff in this.
Yeah.
Some stuff I really enjoyed.
The cast being one of just, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you've got Johnny Lee Miller, Christopher Plummer, for Christ's sake, mm-hmm. Gerard Butler, Jerry Ryan, Omar Epps, Sean Patrick Thomas, that dude from That 70s Show, we won't ever speak his name because of the horrible shit that he's done.
Is that, yep.
It's, and Shane West from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I'm sorry, are you leaving out vitamin C? Did you just leave off vitamin C?
And her breasts are also proudly prominent in this movie.
I like that some of them... I didn't know where this movie was going a lot of the time, and like getting introduced to the thieves at the beginning, like, oh, these are some of our protagonists in the mix here, and then like so many of them just like eat shit.
They all die and... so fast. So like,
I like that.
So fast.
I didn't know where we were going for a couple legs of this movie, and that was fun. It was fun to kind of like not know.
It gives
just
you
be along for the ride.
I don't know. It gives you that really fun kind of 90s and aughts horror thing where like most of the body count is racked up in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is a little more horrific when it comes to like the tension and a little more jump scares and stuff like that. But like, man, those thieves all eat shit real quick.
Yeah, in pretty gruesome ways. But even like once they've pulled off the heist and take Dracula's coffin onto the plane, like you mentioned some of the horrific stuff coming later, but man, like one of the first moments, like, oh, I might like this one, actually. I'm gonna at least like some things about it. It's that shot of that 70s fucker like in the back cargo hold, like trying to pry open the coffin and failing, and then just sort of like frustratingly like throws the crowbar, whatever it is, and it's like it's just reclined up against the coffin,
right?
And the camera's kind of like pulling away as he's reclining there, and you see the fog like flowing out and filtering around him. Like, that is a very cool shot. That is a very creepy shot. And then Dracula shows up, and he's actually kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah.
He's creepy.
They did a great job with him.
Yeah.
I have two things I want to say. One, we forgot to call out a Source Not Found staple now.
Oh.
Lachlan Monroe from Freddy vs. Jason. The dude that goes and gets electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the thieves. He's the guy who gets... He's the first person to die in the movie.
Oh, he's one of the first faces I recognize. Like, I know you.
Yeah, we've seen you before. Favorite. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to last long, are you?
No.
Nope, you didn't.
Sorry, bud. You're dead already. And two, have you ever tried to use a fog machine?
Yeah. No, I've used one.
Can you get it to, like, curl around, like, just stay on the ground and not disperse?
I guess I haven't really tinkered with it that much then. No,
we have tried.
Yeah.
I have tried a lot. It's not easy. And just hats off to the art designer effects division or whoever did the fog in this movie, because there's a lot of fucking fog and it's all done well. So
now I need to watch it again and just like eagle eyed look at the credits like for
fog
chief
man
fog coordinator.
Yeah. best fog boy. Key fog grip.
There are a couple things in the... Actually, not even just what I mentioned, but a couple of things like that left me guessing. Like, what's going on here? Because like I did take Van Helsing at his word at first. Like, I thought, oh, yeah, we are dealing with a descendant of Van Helsing.
Completely forgot that the case. I was with you. I was with you the whole way. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to find out, like, oh, wait, what is he doing with the leeches? Like, I don't know what's going on here. It kept me guessing a little bit. And then come to find out, like, oh, he's sustaining himself off of Dracula's blood filtered through leeches that is keeping him alive. Like, this is the Van Helsing.
That's, yeah.
He's been here the whole time.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I like that a lot, too, although I have some questions.
Okay.
So he fathered Mary.
Uh-huh.
How old is he?
Oh, he robbed the cradle, something fierce.
No, but I mean, just like, how old should Van Helsing be? I meant to do the math and then I forgot. Math boy, do you know? Like, what?
Well, okay, so...
At least, like, 100 and...
So Simon says at one point he's been protecting that coffin for 100 years.
Okay, yeah.
So that put him around, like, 170?
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Because I was thinking, like, what, he was in, like, his 50s or 60s?
Yeah, so let's just say an even 150.
Okay.
And it'll probably be north of that, honestly.
So, is he dropping a couple of those leeches down below? You know, because, like,
probably
to be that, like, to have that virility at that age, like, most of us would be shooting blanks. Like, he's, Van Helsing, good on you.
I was trying to come up with some sort of joke involving Viagra and vampires and combining the two words, and it's just, it doesn't work. It's not good. I don't like it. But yeah, listeners, but I did something there. Listeners, I tried. It was in my head. I was trying.
I'm watching him, and he was thinking on it.
Like a little got, a little blue leech.
He's got like his chin resting on his hand. He's pondering.
Yeah. Just think.
Just know there is a joke there, and fill it in with something that sounds good.
I was just thinking about the fact that he pulls the regular leech and injects it into his arm, and then he pulls a much smaller, bright blue leech and just slides it right down his pants.
Yeah. And this is this where we start our sponsorship or like our ad break for Blue Chew?
Yeah.
It would fit in very nicely right now.
Yeah, they would love that, I'm sure. So how did you feel? Okay, I don't want to get to the big twist of the end yet, because I do feel like it's a pretty decent sized twist for the whole Dracula lore. But let's wait on that for a second. How did you feel about Flo? Because I thought the movie actually moved pretty well.
I did too. Yeah, yeah. I
thought Mary was, like, we have some big actors making big choices in this movie, and our main protagonist being Mary Van Helsing is making no choices.
Honestly, I wasn't crazy about either of our protagonists. Like, Simon didn't really do it for me either.
You close your goddamn mouth,
no,
Brandon.
I didn't think there was much to him. I
will fly out to Japan right now and just give you a nice little tap on the face for talking bad about Johnny Lee Miller.
Nah, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, bad about him. I just didn't think there was much to his character. There was nothing really interesting about him going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, his motivation for everything is, like, I owe everything to Van Helsing. I was an assistant. I'll be a vampire hunter, sure.
There had to
kind of gets on board pretty quickly.
There had to have been a cut scene where it explains, like, what. At one point, he tells Mary, like, I made some really bad decisions. At one point, I had nothing, and your father brought me in and gave me a job and gave me a second chance. Like,
yeah.
I want that story, that flashback, real fast, just like him robbing somebody and they beat the hell out of him and take all their shit back and all of his stuff, and he is just beaten and bloodied, and this old man finds him and pulls him in and offers him a job. Like, there was the concept of depth to that character, and it just wasn't on screen. I feel like it had to have been cut.
Yeah, that would have helped, I guess. I mean, the thing is, yeah, I understand all that. I understand, like, they do tell you the backstory. I just didn't really feel much about it. Maybe, like, having, like you said, something filmed where I can, I don't know, go on that journey with that character a little bit more. Just, like, if I think about Simon as a character, like, what is he? Like, what is he really bringing? Like, he's not really funny. He doesn't really do, like, one-liners. It's not, like, he's not hamming it up, but he's not, like, interesting enough or, like, cool enough. Like, he doesn't have it on that metric. He's not like a badass protagonist. Like, what is he? Like, what is, he's not really checking any boxes for me. He's just sort of there.
He's checking the same amount of boxes that any male protagonist in a slasher film that we have watched thus far has checked.
Yeah, I don't usually care for them either. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he is just fitting that, like, checking that box in a horror film, as we need a handsome male protagonist. In this case, we're going to give him, not give him, he's going to have an English accent. We're going to give him a really cool silver stake launching gun that has a breakaway fucking short sword in the handle of it, in the stock of it. And he's going to do some protecting, and he's going to do some, hey, I also knew your dad, and he kind of like took care of me and stuff, and he's kind of a father figure to me. And that's where we're going to leave it. It's not going to be anything overly complicated or deep, even though we could make him that way if we just fucking took some camera away from Mary and her fucking milk toast mayonnaise acting choices.
And her part-time job at Virgin Records. Did you notice that we went to a Virgin Records, though? We were in there. We were in the Virgin Records. We were inside looking at all those great Virgin Records.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of telling. I mean, I will jump to the end real quick.
And did you notice that she was actually also a virgin? Like, they wanted to really drive that point home.
It's just like it's product placement that just works on multiple levels. It's like deep, rich product placement with multiple layers.
It's when your job is also your character.
So I will jump to the end real quick.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
There's a moment where you think, well, it's played up. You kind of know deep down. No. But, oh, is Mary, now that she's been turned by Dracula, is she going to actually feed on Simon? And they kind of play a ruse. Like, they kind of trick Dracula briefly, right? She pretends to feed on Simon. He pretends to be hurt by it, you know, to make them think that she is fully in his thrall. And I remember thinking, like, this is probably isn't happening, but, oh, that's pretty exciting if it is. Like, that would be nice if the movie were to take that turn. I would really like that. And that's telling that, like, yeah, I felt nothing. I had no investment in Simon. Like, you could have cast him. I would have, like, sacrificed him gladly to make a more interesting, less predictable movie.
No, that's fair.
That's kind of telling. Yeah.
See,
he didn't do it. I would have rather had a story about, you know what, kill off Simon, like, do, like, another twist there, like the protagonist you think is the protagonist, like he gets dispatched. I tend to enjoy it when a movie does that and really fucks with me. Keep Van Helsing going. Like, I would have watched him for 90 minutes.
And then Van Helsing is trying to, like, you know, get revenge for the murder of his apprentice / kind of like surrogate son or something like that.
And reunite with his daughter. Fun. And that's a way more satisfying conclusion than the sort of romance. I couldn't give a shit.
It wasn't a pseudo romance. It was basically the end of Blade. Like, I know who I am now. I have to hunt fucking vampires and I've got Johnny Lee Miller to help me. I am Mary Van Helsing, and I'm going to keep my dad's fucking vault going and watch over the ashes of Dracula and anything else that comes out at night that goes bump. I'm going to fucking take it down because suddenly I have character.
That last 15, 20 seconds, I was thinking, like, oh, did they think this was a franchise in the works with her as the... And there are some sequels. I haven't watched them. Have you watched them?
I have not, but there are two sequels.
Yeah.
And they both feature neither of those actors.
Okay.
And nobody else from this film. But they do have Jason Scott Lee in them. One of them has Rutger Hauer.
Jeez.
So,
very confusing naming conventions. Like, you go from Dracula 2000 to just Dracula 2. That's why I thought were, like, unrelated.
Not just Dracula 2, Dracula 2 Ascension.
Okay, yeah, no, that clears it up. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help.
You never ascend on the first go. So, obviously,
This is a problem that I have that I'm pretty sure you've recognized through the films that we have watched. I very easily get attached to actors based on characters that they have played in the past.
You do, yeah.
Johnny Lee Miller is certainly one of those.
Yeah, I can tell that's going on here because I don't know what you're seeing in this movie with him. You're bringing in some goodwill.
Yeah, very much. Absolutely, I am. It's just very fun to see him on screen. But, okay, let's talk about the big twist.
Okay.
And I want to hear how we feel about this, because I genuinely thought it is a clever way to approach the Dracula mythos.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought it was so smart. It was like on our episode last year, the roundup of favorite things of the year, when I was talking about Vampire the Masquerade and some of the twists on vampire lore that universe makes, where it takes it back to Cain and Abel. You can listen to our episode if you're curious about more, or just read some of that good lore. It was one of those moments for me, like, oh, what a smart, interesting reconceptualization of this mythos and tying the silver to Judas because of the pieces of silver. Oh my God, that it was right there. All these years it was right there. That's so smart.
I thought it was absolutely a great move. And it fit well. It fit every version of how they see Dracula in this film, every weakness he possibly has, every weakness that vampires possibly have can go directly back to Judas, which, by the way, spoilers, Dracula is Judas.
Yeah. It gives a depth to the Dracula character. Like, oh, he's still a monster. He's still scary. He's still been extant on this planet for all these centuries and gradually lost whatever humanity he had in the time that he's just been a monster walking amongst us. But at the end, to like add that depth to the character, the backstory, usually like I want less of my monster explained, but in this instance, it really worked for me.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I was thinking about this, right?
Okay. Okay.
It ties it up so nicely. Doesn't like crosses. Doesn't like the Bible. Why? Oh, yeah. It reminds him what he did. You know, his origin story. Doesn't like silver because of the 30 pieces of silver.
Sure.
Did Jesus, whenever we were hearing about him, like, producing loaves for, like, the multitude, loaves of bread.
Yes, Dracula is gluten-free. Oh,
no.
What?
Oh, garlic bread. Is it all garlic bread? The garlic. Why garlic? Is that what they were eating at the Last Supper? It was Italian night.
Yeah, I mean, they were in Rome, right? Or the Romans are the ones who did the bad stuff, so they were Italians.
Yeah, so they were bringing in that. Well, yeah. Do you think they were eating Roman cuisine at the Last Supper? Hey, I want to go ahead and, like, let's all enjoy our last time together here. For us all being alive by eating the cuisine of those who are about to crucify
to absolutely
me.
Wreck my shit. Yeah.
It's a bold choice. But that garlic bread, I mean, how do you turn that down? Wait, was Jesus the original? If that's the case, was he the original, like, endless breadsticks and
oh my God, Jesus is Olive Garden.
Yeah. A chain restaurant ordained by God himself. Okay, anyway, so garlic, we don't really get that, but that's what I'm thinking.
Peter, Matt, Luke, Mary, Judas, don't worry. Unlimited pasta pass, baby. I got you. Just finish your bowl. It'll refill. You want some more wine? Looks like water to me. Nope. That's a lovely Cabernet.
I mean, there is that one famous, there is that one famous part in scripture where he turns and says, one of you will betray me. But when you're here, you're family.
That's perfect.
Okay, so anyway, that's very smart. It's a smart way to just, like, justify all of the vampire weaknesses, right? I really like that choice.
Man, I'm sorry. I'm fucking stuck right now just thinking that right, like, in my head at the Last Supper, it's just covers of popular songs by Michael Bublé. And that's it.
Yeah. I would make more references, but I haven't been to an Olive Garden in, I don't even know, over a decade for sure. Maybe longer.
Oh, fuck. That's very funny.
I like that it leaves my imagination just going wild. Like, oh, man. So, wait, the Vlad the Impaler stuff, we're just like throwing that out. Maybe not, right? Like, all the lives he could have lived in the interim. You know what I mean? Like, think
he
of all the things.
He could have been anybody.
Almost like a, like in The Stand, you get this with like Randall Flagg, but just like this recurring like archetype of this wanderer, you know, that like shows up in different cultures over time and like manifests as different things and might be like written into the cultural mythos and might be misconstrued as different monstrous beings depending on like their own folklore. I love that idea. It's all Judas, but he just like manifests in different ways through different cultures over time.
I mean, it's basically the opposite of a hero with 1,000 faces, right? Like it's,
yeah,
you're the monster with 1,000 faces. It's, you can have the wandering king in like Gilgamesh, Arthur, you know, going back through all of these different mythos of different heroes, but at the same time, there's always got to be a villain to meet that wandering king.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So introduce the wandering monster, right?
Yeah.
And in this case, our wandering monster is Dracula and Judas, and who knows who else he has been. All we do know is that he has been in the coffin for 100 years.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Before that, he was right. Just going wild, right?
I would imagine so. Yeah.
So, I have an interesting question. At least I think it's interesting. He had around 1,700 years where he was walking around relatively free, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why didn't he convert the whole fucking world? Because it seemed real easy to make vampires.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, he was a virus, effectively, in this movie. Like, every person he bit turned. There right. was no... And it, I don't know... The other people that got bit by the people that he turned, did they also turn? I didn't see if that was ever the case.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, what in this version of Dracula, in this version of the mythos, like, what is... How is that working? What does it take to turn someone into a vampire? Is it like a zombie virus where they just get bit and they are a vampire if you don't bleed them dry?
It seemed like it was just him.
Yeah.
But I mean,
which,
even
that
then,
makes sense. He would have the power. He's the original.
He's the progenitor. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then that would mean like a lot of those. I mean, everyone he turned in this movie, basically, like they would be the upper echelons of vampirism, right? Like they are
you would assume
one
so.
Removed from the origin point.
Of Big Daddy D.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, again, 1,700 years of wandering the planet. He could, if not turn the world, then at least make the world. He said that he wanted to make the world in his image because Jesus said the same thing, right?
Hmm.
Why hadn't he? He had the time, and they certainly didn't have the forensics to chase his ass down.
Yeah, you know, he probably had a pretty easy time of it for the first millennia.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. It just kind of jumped out at me when all of a sudden all five of the tech thieves came back to life as vampires.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, he is really able to make new ones quick.
Mm. I got nothing. I don't know. You don't know. The screenwriters, they don't know. They didn't think about it.
I don't have a full trivia corner today. But there were three or four separate drafts of this script.
Okay.
Apparently, the worst of the I don't even know how to use this name anymore because he's so synonymous with just bad people. But one Weinstein.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Came to the director and said, I have this script called Dracula 2000. It's really bad. And the guy's like, well, then what do you want me to do? And he said, it's called Dracula 2000, though. Like, that was the reason this movie was made, not because it had a good script, but because the title was Dracula 2000, which I guess in 2000 or 1999, like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. They had somebody else rewrote the script and it was a little bit better. And then somebody else took it, scrapped the whole thing and rewrote it from the bottom up. And that's what we saw on the screen. And supposedly it is head and shoulders better than the first one was.
Hmm. That makes sense, though, because this is a lot of different movies rolled into one. And I think that's why it, in some places, is better than I expected, in other places is kind of mediocre. And it's because, ultimately, like, what does it want to be? Sometimes it wants to really, like, ham it up and be campy. And there's some very funny dialogue. I mean,
Omar Epps, dude. The tech vampires. Yeah. I said I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, like some of that, and then just like the first beheading you see, and the head just goes sailing into the dumpster. I'm like, oh, that's what this movie's gonna be. But then no, but then sometimes, you know, sometimes it gets a little goofy with it.
I don't know. I feel like it was that way for most of it, but maybe that's because that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I guess I just mean some places played it up, like when Lucy brings Dracula to her house. And he's, like, following her up the steps, you know, and getting in real close. And, like, you're feeling the sensuality. And it's the line I referenced earlier, like, oh, we are so much more complicated than our names. And then it's Lucian. I was named after the Peanuts character. Like, that's a very funny line.
It's a very good line.
Yeah, it's great delivery. And then it just cuts to sex.
Yeah. It just cuts. It not just sex. levitating levitating bone down time for Dracula and vitamin C.
They're mind freaking. Yeah.
They are Chris Angel mind freaking hard.
Yeah. And then you get Gerard Butler's O face, and it's manic. And just like that span of like 2 minutes there or whatever it is very fun and very funny. And then like other places, I guess I just saw a lot of opportunities where it gets kind of generic and kind of mediocre. There's not like a lot of camp to it. It's a little more straight laced. And I thought like, well, maybe they should have just leaned more into that vibe and really gotten goofy with the whole thing, you know?
I think every scene that has Gerard Butler is campy in this movie. There are times he swishes his trench coat. Like, he lands on the top of a fucking mausoleum or something and just tosses his trench coat behind him. And it's like, man, you are making choices and they're all good, but
that's true.
You're doing great.
I had a lot of fun. I think he's good. He's very good in this.
It looks like he's having a great time doing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't blame him. It looks like it looks like it's a good time. Just the costumes and the weird sensuality every now and again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mixed with just like, I don't know. Everything about what he's doing is a fun time for me.
I agree, and that's kind of what I'm getting at with our protagonists. Like, I had no fun there. There was no fun to be had with them, but I had a lot of fun with Dracula and Van Helsing, and even some of the peripheral characters. Like, man, Selena just is it chewing
was,
the scenery, but just like
she was
sinking
chewing
your fangs
the scenery
into it.
Hard.
The interrogation room where she's just sort of like dangling, you know, like lean forward, and just like hanging there, like taunting the cops on the side of the mirror. Oh man, that's very good.
And just like
that was a cool scene.
It felt weird, I guess, because I didn't expect the line. But she's flirting with the cop behind the mirror and actually comes up and whispers to the mirror, "I can see your cock in your pants." And I was like, I did not expect to hear cock. I did not expect that word in this film. Selena, you dirty dog. Get it, girl?
That was a good one. Yeah, that whole harem of the three that he turns.
Yeah.
They really play that up a lot.
Selena, Vitamin C, and 7 of 9. Like, it's just a good time.
That's another great scene. Them filming out by the swamp, the bayou, whatever, where they are. I mean, this is a moment like Van Helsing's like walking through the airport and seeing the footage from the newscast. It's just like, oh, they are just showing the pilot bizarrely lashed to the yoke with radio cable and bound to twisted pipe. Just like, this is the goriest newscast I've ever seen. And supposed to be playing
and
it
was,
in the airport.
If you have children near you or are sensitive viewers, you may want to avert your eyes. No, you want to avert your fucking eyes.
Like, yeah, all of you at the Delta terminal with children, just, I don't know. Put a hand in front of their face like we're playing this for all to see. It's real gory. But that the shot where she's like she's taking it again and again, like her intro to the newscast or like the promo bit. And she keeps like flubbing the lines and you're watching through the cameraman. And then you just like see her grabbed by some force and like her net getting slid open. Like, and there is a moment like, wait, what? And they're like, oh, right, because you're focalizing through the camera.
Yeah,
it's not picking up Dracula. Dracula's like, there's some great. It's campy, but then it's like actually in the like to change the circumstances a little bit. Like if this were a slightly different movie, that would be horrifying in itself.
Yeah.
That or like Mary coming into her house and like another one that sticks out to me is the phone, the landline phone, just like out in the hallway. And then she's looking at it and then just gets like pulled into the bedroom by way of its cord. And like a couple of things like that, like this is actually generally potentially horrific, not in the current context of the movie. I'm having too much fun. It's too goofy.
Yeah.
But that shot really works.
Well, I mean, we've had discussions about certain objects being horrific on their own without necessarily something like that, that is attached to a line that is also a method of communication and it being pulled away from you.
Yeah.
Is horrifying.
Yeah.
Like in this case, yes, it is a clear plastic see-through phone and in a very campy, funny situation. But like, that's an object that can provide a certain level of fear.
Yeah, there's some really good sections of this movie. I think, do we go from that? I'm trying to think, is that right before, there's a moment where she exits the bedroom, I think it is. And she's like in this long hallway with all these red billowing curtains.
Yeah.
Just some amazing like sets and like shots in this movie. Like sort of like a dreamy, there's like a scene of her in front of the red curtains like, oh, I just feel like I'm in like the Black Lodge in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Like some of that stuff, like with the colors here, or like a Dario Argento film or something like that. Like just really bold, blood red colors, visually arresting imagery and like color palettes. Man, there's just, you know, I think I like this movie more than I thought as I'm talking about it.
Yes!
I mean, I left it thinking like, I really like some of that.
I did
overall,
it.
I don't think I would ever want to watch it again. I don't think I had that much fun, but I had some fun, man. I had some fun with this one.
Watching it before recording this episode, my first thought was, I think Brandon will actually like this one. Like, there's enough stuff here that is fun, and there's also enough stuff that's making some very smart intellectual moves.
Yeah.
And yes, there's a bunch in it that does not work. But there's enough there that I feel like it is fun.
Yeah.
It is certainly one of those, like, it's not like a Blood Rain or even a 13 Ghosts where you're like, I could watch this with buddies and we would not pay attention to it at all. This would be more like, I would watch this with buddies and we would actually take it in and make fun of it as we went through it.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a movie you'd put on the background as a bad movie night. This is a movie that you would watch for a bad movie night.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of threw me. I didn't know what to expect going in. I expected just a really bad movie, but, and there's some bad stuff in it, but the bad stuff is more like mediocre. It's just like, it's not really much of anything. And
right.
Then a lot of it is actually just kind of good. So I don't think, yeah, to me, it wouldn't be like, I don't even know that I would have that much. Like if I were just like trying to kick back with some beers, like, all right, let's really just like Mystery Science Theater 3000, this thing. I don't think there would be that much for me to really play off of, to be honest. There's
interesting.
Like too much of it is good, you know?
Yeah.
Or just like slightly just below par, but not bad to like any great degree of badness. It's just sort of campy.
They're
sort of generic.
Yeah. There's some campy and scenery chewing choices that I very much just have fun with. Just a really good time, especially how Serena is the worst fucking shot in the world.
Yeah.
She's got like 8 silver spikes she can launch at Simon, and just, even with vampire reflexes, she can't hit a fucking thing.
I mean, I'm looking through my notes here, and it's like, yeah, most of the stuff is stuff I liked, you know? Some of the shots I've mentioned. I love the blood pooling into their eyes. They look creepy. The vampires, even though it's campy, even though I never really feel scared, I never feel that on that level. Again, in a different context, looking at your visual design, vampire, you would be scary in a different movie. And I love that. I love when, like, I can look at a campy, fun movie that's getting goofy with it and just pick out stuff on the screen like, oh, but that actually is, like, earnestly scary.
Yeah.
And in a different movie would be frightening. Yeah, I don't know. It also, I mean, the movie gave me an idea. Like, if this podcasting thing doesn't work out, I think we should just
go into leeches.
I think we should. Oh, well, there's that. Or I was just thinking, just pick up a part-time job at the Virgin Records Mega Superstore thing, because they seem to be very accommodating. Just employees come in and out of there with, like,
yeah,
no pushback. Like, hey, I got to take off cover for me. Oh, yeah, you're good. Oh, where's Mary? Where's Lucy? Oh, you know, she had a hot date, so she just left early. And, we're cool with that. Virgin, certainly, the Virgin Corporation definitely understands who are we to stand in the way of, like, human flourishing, you know? Like, if we hear you have a date, like, Richard Branson himself descends in his private jet and just, like, escorts you over.
Give you
some advice along
the way. Here's the thing. They embrace work-life balance, and that's
just
a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, I like that.
They also seem to pay their workers a living wage, because Vitamin C and Mary live in a really nice place.
Yeah, in New Orleans. They're in like prime Mardi Gras Central.
Yeah, like, and they're in like a brownstone. And it's just them there.
Although they inherited it, right? Wasn't it her mother's house? Because she mentions like, oh, it was very Catholic.
Still
it was
property tax, Catholic. Dude. Like they have have expenses they have to pay. You know, electric. That place probably does not get great like temperature control. So AC and heat, especially in a New Orleans summer, ooh, those bills are pricey.
Oh, man,
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, dude.
And it, I mean, New Orleans in August, it's, oh, God. You are wading through the air.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yep. So, yeah. Takeaways. Virgin, good. Virgin's good?
Huh.
I don't want to say that phrase.
Brandon. Hey, we're actually a very
Gerard
sex...
Butler, not a virgin, but very good.
We are a sex-positive podcast. There is no judgment at all, but Virgin's good, apparently, says Brandon June.
Print that, put it on the VHS box right on the front.
Cut it, print it, roll it, the end.
Right next to Peter Travers, whatever Rolling Stone had to say about this one.
Virgin's good.
Virgin's good.
Roger Ebert, two thumbs up, Virgin's good.
Ebert and Roper both agree this movie has not gotten laid and we like it.
We love it.
I found some other people who like it. Some good, who love
I,
it. Some
like
who
I said,
hate it.
I do not have a trivia corner for this one. There was not much in that boat. So I am.
There was a lot in the IMDb boat.
Oh, bring it. Bring it on.
I found some goofballs this week. I really did. What are we starting with? How about a 1 out of 10 from Gin and Tonic, September 2nd, 2001? Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Rent. Please don't waste your time. This movie rehashes the worst of Bram Stoker's Dracula, Van Helsing. That's in parentheses. Anne Rice's Vampire Lestat, parentheses, rock music and silly biblical references. And Blade, parentheses, high-tech toys.
Fuck this
I really
guy.
Like
sorry.
Vampire.
Sorry. Fuck that guy.
That's mostly like what I needed to read on this one. That is one of the weirdest takes I've ever seen. But yeah, Dracula's good except for that fucking Van Helsing character. What a fucking nerd. What?
I love Blade except for the badass tech shit. Except for Kris Kristofferson and the cool weapons.
Yeah, he makes the weapons, I use them. And I, as the audience member, just yawn. Less of that, please. What?
Man, this guy just insulted everything I love about vampire movies.
I really like vampire movies and novels, and there are many out there that are very good, but not this stinker. Not even the soundtrack helps it, mostly because the movie resorts to ridiculous, scary classical music rather than the kick-ass metal that some reported. Only a few times did I hear any metal. Mostly it was tortured violins. Avoid it like garlic and crucifixes. I heard so much butt rock, so much new metal.
The only time I heard violins was when there was a literal fucking drop on a record when Van Helsing put a record on. That when he was injecting himself with Dracula blood filtered through a leech. That was the only time I heard violins. The rest of the time it was Five Finger fucking Death Punch or whatever.
Power Man 5000.
Sure.
That
too.
Yeah, sure. 5,000 Finger Death Punch. I wanted to start with that one because that is going to sort of set the stage. I have a lot of weird takes on this one. There were some weird takes.
I'm genuinely upset at Gin and Tonic. I love a Gin and Tonic. I hate that Gin and Tonic.
I would imagine, like, what is their take on Gin and Tonic? Like, oh man, Gin and Tonic, but I hate when it's carbonated.
It's like, it brings all the worst parts of a Gin and Tonic. The gin, parentheses, juniper, and the tonic, parentheses, carbonation. And the citrus, parentheses, lime.
Just give me a tepid vodka and water. I mean, that's really what I'm looking for. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't put ice in it. That makes it too cold.
Again, I never, like, I've said this before, I never want to, like, ridicule anyone or, like, make them feel bad. I love weird takes, but I just couldn't, it's baffling to me that the things that you don't like about these things
are the
like
things.
The toys in Blade. You don't like Van Helsing and Dracula. What do you like? Why do you like these things then? What are you enjoying?
He just
really
like,
blew my mind.
He just likes the weird, the weird fucking Peeping Tom vibe of some of the characters in Bram Stoker Dracula.
Yeah, so we got some goofballs this week. To follow that up, we got a 5 out of 10 from J-Scrump. J-Scrump 1, March 15th, 2005. Okay. I really don't know what to say. This movie isn't awful, but it isn't at all wonderful. There was way too much language and sexuality. I hated the songs they used. I love Gerard Butler as Dracula. The thing that scared me to death about him was his eyes. All you had to do was look in those eyes to know who he was. I love that. However, he did need a haircut. Justine Waddell was amazing. The movie started out pretty good. I felt the ending was a bit rushed and kind of corny. They also really didn't do a good job explaining why Dracula wanted Mary so desperately. What? Yes, definitely did.
They explained that in depth.
We had whole flashbacks about it. I thought the whole new religious twist about Dracula's past was extremely inappropriate. I love the idea of moving a classic story into modern day, but they should have kept the story in Europe. I also loved Mary's part of the story. Still, I felt that the movie was too short. They also should have used a longer version of the scene between Dracula and Van Helsing in Mary's and Lucy's house. It really explained a lot more about Mary, and also explained why Dracula was fixated on her. I love that line of Dracula's, "She will love me." It scared me to death. That one, I love that review. It's just like the way it just juxtaposes like good
everything
and bad,
against
like
everything.
Yeah. But just like every knock against the movie, like, wait, what? That's why you didn't like it? You didn't like the sexuality with your vampires? Like, what?
Do you know what vampires do? Vampires fuck. Like, that
well,
is...
No, I have a good novel we can recommend. J-Scrump, if you're looking for some vampire action, but these are just a little too risque for you, might I suggest Twilight?
Just
Midnight
don't
Sun?
Get to the third and fourth ones.
I can only recommend Midnight Sun.
I don't remember when they bone down. I think it's in the fourth one.
Okay, so just don't read that far.
But vampires fuck. Like, that is part and parcel to their entire thing. And also, how do you not get what Mary's deal is?
I don't know.
It's the entire film.
Yeah. We dwell on it. For so long.
She says it 3 separate times. Just because he has my blood, does that make me his?
You get it from her. You get it from him. You get it from Dad, Van Helsing. Everyone's telling you about it.
You even get part of it from Nathan Fillion's priest. Oh, yes. I don't know if we mentioned the fact that Nathan Fillion's in this fucking movie as a priest who is so repressed. It's sad.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? When you phrase it like that, brilliant casting choice.
Yeah.
Because I could feel the Nathan Fillion energy within you and just like, if it's not here on screen, yes.
Yeah, it's
and
there.
There's a reason why. It's a deep, yeah, like the Virgin Records metaphor.
They're all fucking virgins,
so
dude.
It's so deep. Yeah, you can just see him.
Hey-o.
When like Mary is confessing some of her stories, like you can see it in his eyes. Like, oh, he's going to be thinking about this one later.
Yep.
This one, I have to share. We have an official Source Not Found challenge, I think.
I love this.
From London Guy UK, March 28th, 2004. 1 out of 10. Abysmal. I'm just going to read the first paragraph here. So many bad things, so little space. There are probably less successful castings in a movie, but right now, I can't think of any. In fact, if you know of a less convincing Dracula ever in movie history, then please email me and let me know. Should we start drafting that email? What do you got?
Evans?
Who was Luke Evans?
Dracula Untold. He was Gaston in the live-action Beauty and the Beast remake. You've seen him in something, goddammit. I know you have.
I haven't seen either of those, so maybe not, but...
You probably haven't seen all the Fast and the Furious movies either, huh?
Nope. Okay.
You would know this fucking guy.
He's, are you going with Luke Evans?
No, that was just my first, that was my immediate response.
The only thing I could think of was Leslie Nielsen.
I was going to go Dracula Dead and Loving It. That was a thought.
What about, he's not trying to be convincing.
What about the dude from Van Helsing? Richard Roxborough.
Okay. The thing is, like, it could be a lot of them because I liked Gerard Butler in this. He's not the greatest Dracula, but...
I thought he was great. I don't think he was the... I mean, he's no Gary Oldman or Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, no. But I mean, you don't... Yeah, right.
Like, that's... But it's Dracula fucking 2000.
That's S tier. Yeah.
Yeah. I would put him at... I would put him at B or even maybe A tier Dracula.
Well, just... I think I want to... I want to issue an official rebuttal to London Guy UK.
Okay.
What are we going with? Luke Evans? I mean, I'll sign on to that. We need to pick a less convincing Dracula ever in movie history, so we can go with anybody.
But they have to have been cast as Dracula. Right? We can't just pick fucking Frankie Muniz.
Has he been Dracula?
That's
That's
what
someone
I'm saying.
Who has actually, yeah, that's the way I'm taking it. Although...
Blake Lively.
No, yeah, that's I'm not gonna be able to not think about Frankie Muniz though.
Dracula in the middle, baby. Let's get it
in the middle. Yeah. All right, let's just say Luke Evans. I mean, but we got some. I mean, you can do worse. You can do worse.
You can do a lot worse than Gerard Butler's version of Dracula in this film. I would even go maybe Dominic, what's his name, from Blade Trinity.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't really remember much about Blade Trinity.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Like, I like it a lot, mostly for Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes and Patton Oswalt, but it's not a good film at all. I'm going to have to genuinely think about the worst Dracula I've ever seen, and I'll have to follow up with our listeners. Keep an eye on the show notes in the future. There may just be an extra little note that's like, Beau's choice for worst Dracula ever is.
Speaking of Blade Trinity, though.
Ah, beans.
We got a 4 out of 10 from Zalofunks. Sucked, but... Warning, spoilers. Okay, let's be straightforward. It sucked. The one thing that was really cool, though, was the ending. How she wrapped the rope around his neck and then jumped off the side of the building only for him to burn in the sun. So cool! I would watch the movie again, but only maybe 3 years later on a rainy night. The one thing that I really didn't like was how the guy cut one of the vamp chick's head off with the shears and then threw them at Dracula. It reminded me too much of Blade Trinity. Yes, I realized this was made first, but Blade did it so much better. Plus, I saw Blade first. I just saw this on TNT, so... I don't know what else to do. It's just like four lines of H's.
Okay. I'm going to keep this brief. I had so much hope when he said my favorite part was the end of the movie, because that's when you get the Judas twist. And yes, that is the best part of the movie. They do an incredible job of bringing that whole thing around. But no, just being like, I'm going to wrap a rope around his neck and he catches fucking fire. Arson, baby. Let's... Immolation.
Yeah.
And also just the whole, I know this movie was made first, but I saw it last.
On TNT.
That's like, so I was watching the 1998 movie Merlin, but it's just like Harry Potter, but he's fucking old. What the hell is this shit? I know that Merlin came first, but I saw Harry Potter first, so.
Derivative. So talking about, like, we liked the Judas bit. We liked that choice.
Very much, yeah. Yeah.
Some people didn't. One of those people is Dark Singer. They wrote about it on January 31st, 2001. 3 out of 10. Dracula, a Christian passion play? I thought the special effects were certainly worth seeing this movie. The acting wasn't even bad. But when they had Dracula be Judas Iscariot and had him seek forgiveness at the end, I just about threw up. I don't have any problem with people being Christian, even though I'm not one. But when Christians take a time-honored piece of literature like Dracula and try to warp it into something to meet their ends, I get kind of upset. This movie is just Christian propaganda, Bo. This movie's just Christian propaganda.
This Dracula 2000 is woke as fuck.
How did you watch that movie and think, yeah, this is the Christians trying to push their agenda? What? Where? When? I mean, it's like a smart choice to tie it back, but I did not at any point feel like, oh yeah, no, this is trying to like proselytize. Quite the opposite. I feel like this could be very offensive potentially to Christians. All right, I got one more.
All right, hit me.
This is a very special review. I got so excited when I saw the very first line of this review. Part of me was like, wait, no, it can't be. Is it? Yes. And it was. Sometimes, okay, so when I go looking for reviews, I mean, this movie had like 400 reviews. Now, I don't read all of them, but I read a lot of them. And I go digging because some of the gems are buried deep. You might recall one of our people who've been listening to the show for a while, they might. You definitely do. A certain review called "I Love the Woman in Blue" from
Dude,
Tom Kinnariel, 17760.
I am aroused right now.
Just to refresh everyone's memory, Mortal Kombat, the movie 1995, we found this gem. "I Love the Woman in Blue." It was 12 months ago that I said this out loud as Sonya Blade first runs into Jax. I behaved this way because it was the result of the hot happy meal, a tonal evolution that was instigated by magic. And that's it. Well, as I was deep in the depths of IMDb reviews, I found a certain title of a certain review that starts, "The Woman in Blue, the sideshow to the main event." And I couldn't help myself. I had to scroll down to see the author. And it is indeed Trocken Mario, 17760. Written December 19th, 2020.
Fucking beautiful.
"A paradigm within the identity politics mirror scheme. Every so often, as a constant in terms of the inevitability of the every so often showing up. In this instance, the woman in blue's red door. In Dracula 2000, this red door shows up. Or at the very least, a copy of this red door shows up. Pops up. Let's go back to the second sentence. Every so often, as a constant in terms of the inevitability of the every so often showing up. A time which is a constant in terms of the inevitability of time existing. Inevitability doesn't conflate with constant. That's what I take away from the paradigm's description. That was the first thing I took away from the paradigm's description. In looking at the whole sentence, one can be forgiven for thinking that there is conflation, although in Dracula 2000, one isn't forgiven. One is crushed to death with spikes. Why the comparison? For one, it correlates with the art of imitation, death via not understanding. Next, however, there is the woman in blue, Sandy Hook. She is a role model. Let's be a bit risky. Hook relates to crush, and Sandy means a loose hook. Hook relates to the art of swinging, and in this instance, Selena swings in the hospital. And there is a second sentence's AIA inference. Back to philosophy, the constant of the pop-up. The truth is that the translation of the second sentence is right and wrong. One for philosophy, front to philosophy. The woman in blue is the sideshow to the main event meaning, which is a translation of the second sentence being right and wrong. The victims of this are Peekaboo, God, Samantha Wolzile, the Almighty, and the Master of the Universe, Mason Detry. Mason Dirtry? Mason Dirtry.
Maison Detra. It's the meaning of life.
This is the point where I think, like a piece of classical music where you're not really sure, like, do I applaud or not? I'm just going to go ahead and give you a little bow here. It's done.
That's it over. Is done. It is done.
Yeah, it wasn't clear. How could it be? How could it be?
Is he the first AI?
I don't know what to make of this one. Okay. I felt like this was like me watching the movie Tenet. Like, okay, I think I understand, like, Christopher Nolan, you're very smart and you do some kind of heady stuff in the past, but I always kind of like could get it by the end, you know, like Memento is kind of a mind fuck the first time you see it, but okay, I'm with you. And then I watched Tenet, like, whoa, I think you're very smart. Yes, but what did I just watch? What did I just read?
So this actually reminds me very much. When I was in grad school, I went to this place in Arizona called Casey Moore's. It was an oyster bar, but they also had this really big bar on the outside that was all Irish. You know, your Guinness, your Jameson, your Tullamore Dew, the whole thing. And we would go there for late night beers and whiskeys and shots on occasion, and then we'd walk back to our place. So one night I was there, I ran into a dude who was wearing a beret who was on mushrooms. and he was a triple major, English, history, and I want to say it was philosophy. English, history, philosophy, triple major. And everything you just read is basically what he said to me while he was on mushrooms.
That checks out. Yeah.
That's the ramblings of a madman.
I think, I mean, every artist, you know, if you follow their work, they have peaks and valleys, and sometimes they get a little bit too high on their own supply and get a little self-indulgent. I think we are hitting Trochanmaryal 17760. That may be the height of just like, okay, this one was a little too self-indulgent here. Like, you just kind of were a little too unfettered on this one.
Hey,
like,
you
this
know
needed
what?
An editor. This needed to be workshopped a little bit.
His peak is Hot Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Can we please go back to the Hot Happy Meal?
Sure and sweet. But I was so excited to just
see him again.
It's not like I searched this reviewer and like looked at what else they had written. I just found it out in the wild, like, oh, a recurring character in the Source Not Found universe. I'll be keeping an eye out for you in the future. I'm not going to look to see what else you've written. I just want it to be a nice, hot, happy surprise in the future when I just
can
start scrolling.
Can you please never
that
say that series of words again? Brandon,
the look he's giving me right now. The look you're giving me right now.
Brandon June, : Virgin's good, give me that hot, happy surprise.
We got room. We got still a little bit more room on that VHS box. Let's fit it in.
I would just like to point out the only reoccurring characters we have right now are Troika and Lachlan Monroe. We're fucking killing it, dude.
Oh, yeah. We're building something here. I don't know. It was just that. I mean, there was a lot of people complaining about Gerard Butler's hair, honestly. I saw the comment he needed a haircut more than once, more than twice.
I liked his hair. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And then a lot of people did not like the product placement, which, okay, yeah, fair. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
But did you notice that we were at a Virgin Records mega superstore?
Did
you see that?
Virgin's good.
Hot and happy is what they make me.
Oh, no! Oh, shit. On that, listeners, you can check us out at Source Not Found Podcast on all the social medias. Send us an email talking about Brandon's predilections at sourcenotfoundpod@gmail.com. Or check Brandon out on Twitch at LeJuneBug.
Link down the show notes. You can also check out playthroughs on our YouTube, as well as archives of the show.
Super cool. And with that, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our patrons. And you can check out our Patreon if you would like. Patreon.com, Source Not Found Podcast. Guys, please, please, please don't forget to check those toilets for those good, good virgins.
With all these virgins around, stay leached.
Blue leached.